Good morning and welcome to the Sarah Schultz Show, where we the people are now in session. You can also download my show as a free podcast on iTunes or from my show page at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sarah Schultz and find me on Facebook at The Sarah Schultz Show. Now I'd like to welcome Secretary of State Doug La Follette on The Sarah Schultz Show. Good morning, Secretary of State La Follette. How
are you
doing?
Good morning, Sarah, and good morning, everybody in the wide world who's listening.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, good.
I haven't read much news yet, so I'm okay.
So you're still doing good. As soon as you read the news, then you get into problems, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's not very exciting to read what's going on in a variety of places and issues at the moment.
It actually is very depressing for me to read. I'm like, oh, what happened today now? Now we're going to be speaking about the environment. You have been huge. Actually, you've been in with the environmental movement since the very beginning. Can you give a little bit of the history of the environmental movement?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. Some of our listeners weren't around in the late 60s and in 1970. I could probably spend an hour or two on this, but let's do it sort of a brief overview. After World War II, the U.S. economy got cranking up. And there were lots of jobs, lots of inventions. People started having cars and television sets, and that led to a good economy and good jobs for American workers. And that's another issue that's going on right now, how we've lost that in the current economy. But that buildup between, let's say, 1960 and 55 up to 1970 caused a lot of environmental problems. Air pollution, water pollution, and we didn't have any laws. There wasn't any EPA. There wasn't any Clean Air Act. And so things got pretty bad. And there are a lot of stories about the fish all being dead in the Fox River up by Green Bay. And the air was so bad, people were choking on it, basically. So what happened in the late 60s, thanks to the leadership of Gaylord Nelson, who was the U.S. senator at the time, and he had been a governor and came from northern Wisconsin. He appreciated the environment very much. He was trying to get the senators in Washington to pay attention, and they weren't listening. So he had the idea, and a lot of us worked on it all across the country, to have the first Earth Day in 1970, April 22nd. And he went across the country. Basically, schools, universities shut down for a day, and everybody talked about the environment. And it was a real positive period. And in the 1970s, with Gaylord Nelson's leadership, we passed the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Environmental Protection Act, the Endangered Species Act. A lot of good legislation in Washington happened in that period. And because of that, we made progress. It was a very exciting time. That's when I formed the Wisconsin Environmental Decade, which is now known as Clean Wisconsin, and it's still one of the best environmental groups in our state. So things got better. The air got cleaned up. We built sewage plants. The fish began to come back to the rivers, and it was a positive period. Then, sort of in the 1980s, it began to be obvious that there were more complicated problems, like the ozone layer and the problems of toxic chemicals. The fish could not be eaten anymore. The government started putting out advisories that because of dieldrin and aldrin and mercury, even today in all Wisconsin lakes, there's an advisory, don't eat the fish. So even though the fish came back, they were too full of toxic materials. And even though the air got cleaned up from the power plants, no more black smoke pouring out. Now what was coming out was sulfur dioxide, and of course now we know carbon dioxide, which is causing the climate disruption problems. So a lot of us, and many people in Washington, began to talk about more serious challenges. And that led to sort of a backlash, because when you start telling people that they have to maybe turn off their air conditioners or get on their bicycles or not have a garbage disposal, grinding up the garbage and dumping it in the lakes and on, people begin to say, wait a minute. And then the industry got geared up, oil, coal, the auto industry. They began to spend lots of money lobbying and pushing against the environment, and we went into a period, what I call the backlash, sort of the late 80s, early 90s, when environmentalism became kind of a problem for people and for legislation. Then when the climate issue began to become more serious, sort of in the late 90s, we had sort of a revival, and we began to talk about solar energy and wind energy. People started putting up windmills, and solar energy prices came down. And so there was sort of a new upswing of positive environmental feelings, primarily around the energy issue and the climate disruption issue, because that climate issue turns out to be extremely serious, and it's still going on. So that was a positive period. Then, sort of in the middle 90s up until sort of up until now, or most seriously probably the last maybe 6 or 7 years, we've gone into another negative period. The industry didn't like the idea of climate change requirements. They didn't want to have a tax on carbon. They didn't want to have a limitation on what they could do with oil drilling and coal burning. And people also begin to get nervous because of the economy. People are losing their jobs, and the industry, you see them on TV all the time arguing how we need to drill more oil, we need to build more coal, we need to do more mining for the economy, and people were influenced by that. So now we're in another very negative time when the environmental movement is having lots of trouble. And in Washington right now, as we'll talk about in a minute, they're trying to repeal, they're trying to get rid of many of the good laws that Senator Nelson and others worked on back in the 1970s. So there's a little quick history of the last 40 years.
Well, what do you think caused this negative change, this negative thought about the environment?
Well, at the moment, I think it's a combination of the economy. When people are losing their jobs, they get nervous about things. And then there's been a tremendous amount of propaganda, a lot of lies coming out of Washington. The same PR companies that spent years trying to tell us that cigarettes don't cause cancer, those same people have been hired now by the oil and coal industry to tell us that climate change is not a problem. And, of course, all the scientists in the world, 98% of the scientists say climate change is a serious issue, and yet every single Republican candidate for president, all 8 or 10 of them, I can't keep track, say that they don't believe in climate change. And Congress is trying to turn back the laws. In fact, the Obama administration just this past week, the EPA decided not to put restrictions on carbon dioxide. They were bowing to pressure from the industry and from Republicans in the Congress not to control carbon dioxide, even though we know that's a serious problem and we need to deal with it if we're going to protect the climate.
Well, Michelle Bachmann came out and said that carbon dioxide is good, and I think her twist on that is that the plants need it, so we need to put more out for the plants. It's actually very disturbing to me to hear people like that speak in those kinds of terms.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I don't want to offend any Republicans listening, because Republicans are fine people, except for a few like Michelle Bachmann, who don't know what they're talking about. And it's a shame that some of the current candidates are either ignorant of the science or they are ignoring the science because they know they can appeal to the industry, the oil and coal kind of people, to get money if they pretend to disagree with the science. The science is clear, and Michelle Bachmann doesn't know what she's talking about in this particular case. She also proposed to eliminate the EPA. She says that one of her first things to do as president would be to shut down the EPA. Well, that doesn't show a very intelligent approach after what we've learned over these last 40 years that I talked about.
Going on to President Obama, now, he hasn't been real great with the environment as of late. Can you talk a little bit more about what's going on, some of the stuff that he has approved in Washington?
Well, it's been a shame. I was more optimistic because from what we know, he's a very intelligent man, and he appointed some very good people in the beginning to some of the positions, the EPA, for example. But then the first disaster was the so-called climate issue, which was a so-called cap and trade. We were going to cap CO2, and we were going to let people trade back and forth. That went on and on in the House of Representatives. And the president didn't push very hard. So something that was, I'd say, pretty useless finally passed the House with lots of compromises, and then it died in the Senate. It never went anywhere. So that whole process was pretty harmful to public opinion, And I think Obama kind of dropped the ball in not being more aggressive on that. Then the economy began to fall apart, as we now know, unfortunately. And because of that, and then the Republicans took control of the House. So they've been passing law after law now to weaken the EPA, to eliminate air pollution laws, etc. And that's put a lot of pressure on Obama. Now, he has done a couple of good things. For example, his administration is requiring automobiles and some trucks to get better gas mileage. Not strong enough, and the Republicans are trying to weaken it already. So he's done a couple of good things. The problem is that he's facing too much pressure from industry, for where Democrats also get most of their money, and from the Republicans in the legislature, who won't pass anything. Anything good that he wanted to do will not pass the Congress. So his hands are sort of tied, and it's kind of a sad situation. Because of that, and because it's election time, you can't believe they start so early. Well, it's 14 months from now. I think we should wait a while before we start this election, but we're already in the middle of it, and we're going to have to listen to it for the next 14 months. But because of that, Obama is a politician, and therefore he is afraid to offend people. And the public has been brainwashed by the Republicans and by the industry, people like Rush Limbaugh on radio telling us that the environment is a disaster, regulations are causing the economy, regulations are shutting down the business, regulations are causing us not to have enough oil and coal. So all that has forced Obama to back down on some of the things that he even proposed to do originally.
Well, and wasn't it just a couple weeks ago that there was something with the clean air and something about, I haven't been following it as closely as I can because of what Walker's doing. But
right,
yeah,
just about a week ago, the EPA backed down on the requirements for ozone-producing pollution, which is a serious environmental issue. It causes a lot of lung problems for people, children particularly. And they had proposed a tough standard for ozone, and they backed down on that. And then just this last week, they backed down on the carbon dioxide regulation, which would affect the climate, of course. So those are the two most recent cases where the EPA backed down, presumably with Obama's permission, on these air pollution regulations.
And we'll get into the air pollution regulations with Walker, too. But going back to Washington, there's the pipeline also that people have been seriously protesting about, and there's been arrests and all sorts of stuff with that. Now, this pipeline cuts through the plains, doesn't it? It goes from...
Right, it goes from Canada all the way down to Texas, I think, maybe. I'm not sure. I apologize for not remembering that. But it starts in Canada, and what's wrong with the pipeline, besides going to cost lots of money and run through lots of areas, and it'll probably leak. These pipelines seem to always have problems. We've seen that in a lot of places. Even in the last few months, there have been pipelines exploding and leaking and blowing up. But the real issue in the pipeline is, what sort of energy future do we have? And here, again, the Obama administration has been asked to take a positive stance. And the positive stance for our energy future, if we're going to survive, given the climate problem, is we need to have serious conservation, where we begin to insulate homes and put on storm windows and do all the things that make sense to save energy. And dollar for dollar and job for job, you get more energy savings by doing that than you do building pipelines or nuclear power plants or coal-burning power plants. So, and then we also, again, need to support solar energy and other alternatives. And it's amazing. The price of solar energy panels has dropped something like 70% in the last couple of years, from, like, I think we used to be around $4 a kilowatt. Now it's down to not more than a dollar and a half or so. And that's mostly because China came into the market, and China spent a lot of money promoting and subsidizing their solar industry. So much of the solar panels that are now being built in this country are coming from China. And that was a real mistake we made. That goes back to the Reagan administration. The Reagan administration really messed up our country when it comes to solar energy. and we can talk about that in a minute if you like. But the point is, those are the alternatives that make sense. This pipeline is promoting the dirtiest energy you can imagine. It's this oil shale development in Canada, where they clear cut the forest, they pump millions of gallons of water, they dig up the whole land, then they process the shale to get the oil out with lots of heat and energy, and then they pipe that oil through the pipeline. And it's a disaster in terms of the carbon dioxide production. It's one of the worst energy sources in terms of its impact on the climate. So it's a dumb idea to promote and encourage that sort of energy. And we've been telling Obama to say no. And as you pointed out, there were hundreds of people in Washington before the White House about 2 weeks ago. They were there for almost a week, and a lot got arrested. A lot of very important, prominent people, several people from Wisconsin I know were there, saying this is a dumb idea.
Well, and the shale, the oil that it's going to be, a pipeline is going to be having go through it, is very toxic oil too, isn't it? Isn't it something that if it leaks, it's going to be very difficult to try to clean up in the environment because of the toxicity of it?
I don't know. I'm a chemist. I used to be a chemist. I should know, but I haven't seen anything to read about that. So I don't know the actual facts. I have heard that it's not high quality oil. It may have a lot of sulfur in it. It may have other things in it, but I don't know the answer to that. You may know more than I about that actual issue. I mean, any oil spill can be a problem, particularly if it gets into wetlands or gets into rivers or streams. And if the oil contains certain heavy metals or certain types of sulfur, then it can be even more problematic.
Now let's go back and talk a little bit about Reagan and what Reagan did with the not going into the solar panels.
This is a story that I mean, it's sort of spilt milk now, if you will, or spilt beer, whatever you want to talk. But it's worth knowing the history to know how we make mistakes. And what happened is, when Jimmy Carter was president, he was a scientist. He understood the energy issue almost better than any president in recent time. So he started something called the Solar Energy Research Institute in Colorado, called SERI. And he appointed Dennis Hayes, one of the help organizers of Earth Day, to run that. And he set up four centers around the country. There was one in Atlanta, one in Boston, one in Minneapolis. And I worked for that. I actually moved to Minneapolis for a number of months, and I was the deputy director of the Solar Energy Center based in Minneapolis, which covered Wisconsin and Illinois, et cetera. The point of all this was to encourage solar energy, and we were making great progress. The prices were still pretty high, but we were beginning to promote that. And President Carter put a solar collector on the White House. That was the famous story, to promote it. Well, what happened is, when Reagan got elected, when he beat Carter, and that was a sad election because Carter didn't do anything wrong. It had to do with the oil embargo and the price of gasoline and some things that Carter couldn't really control. But Reagan won. He took the solar collector off the White House. Well, that was kind of sad. But what he did that was horrible, he shut down the four energy centers, like the one I worked in. So we stopped promoting solar energy, and he shut down 90% of SERI, the research lab in Colorado. The scientists, 100 scientists working there, they went to Germany. They went to Sweden. They left this country. And they continued to work on solar energy other places. So we lost the leadership opportunity in solar energy because Ronald Reagan was elected. And because of that, now today we're in a mess. I say, and I believe this, if Jimmy Carter would have gotten reelected, the current energy situation would be much, much different today.
I've heard that too. I've heard that... that Reagan set us back, and that Carter was really pushing for more of an alternative future.
Exactly.
Now, getting back to Obama, he did open Arctic drilling. Didn't he approve that? I thought I had read that.
Yeah, he approved certain parts of it. There's several different Arctic issues. There's the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, which should be made into a wilderness, and we've been fighting for that for years, and we haven't succeeded. There's drilling in the area to the west of the wildlife refuge, a large area there, which is which is where they've been trying to open up, and he approves some leases there. And then there's the drilling out in the Arctic Ocean itself, drilling in the ocean, which is one of the craziest things. It's bad enough to try to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. We saw what happened there. But up in the Arctic, you're dealing with pretty cold water and a pretty difficult situation. So he approved some leases there. And he's also reapproved doing drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, despite the fact that the Republicans are ranting and raving that Obama is not allowing any oil exploration. They really have allowed some of it. And I think the some of the ones up in the Arctic are probably questionable.
How can we get Washington back on track environmentally?
Well, it's an old story, one that I've been talking about for 40 years, and that is we have to elect better people. I mean, there's no way around it. It's politics. I don't think you can educate the people that are there now. There are some very good people, and there are some disasters. And then there's kind of the ones in the middle that mostly watch the polls and try to collect all the money they can for their reelection. So I think the only way we're going to improve the environmental situation, and I said this in 1970, that's why I formed the Wisconsin Environmental Decade, now Clean Wisconsin. It from the beginning was a political group, a group that could lobby. A lot of the environmental groups back in the 60s and 70s, like Audubon and Sierra Club, they could not lobby. Now today they can. They've changed their organization, so they now can do that. But I've always felt that it's political. Let's be honest. We have to elect people like Gaylord Nelson and stop electing people like Mr. Walker and Michelle Obama and some of the senators in Washington that say climate change is a hoax. Well, that's insane. So it's very simple, Sarah, but it's very difficult. We need to elect a majority of people who understand these important scientific environmental issues.
We're talking to Secretary of State Doug La Follette. If you have any questions for him, please call 310-742-1896. Now let's talk about Walker and his environmental plan. He's been horrible when it comes to the environment. He's been awful. I don't even know where you want to start with that. There's just so many to choose from. I guess let's start with the air. They've got three bills out on the schedule about the air quality and allowing more air pollution to come in. Do you want to start with that? We'll just go from there.
Well, I'm not an expert on all those laws. I'll be honest, I haven't bothered to read them yet. I've been working on some other things that are also involved with the Walker administration. You may have more details than I do, Sarah, quite honestly, and I'm not too proud to let you explain some of those, but the basic issue is that they, again, either because they don't understand it or they don't believe it, are following the same argument that I talked about before in Washington, that regulation is hurting the economy, and therefore we need to stop regulating. And, of course, we know who is in favor of that. It's the Koch brothers and the industry people, because if they don't have to regulate, they can make more money. And then they also are interested in taking advantage of public opinion that is currently, like I said before, sort of on the downswing when it comes to environmental protection. So I think the Walker people are just doing what you would expect, and we've heard about it in the very beginning. They tried to eliminate the recycling. We recouped some of that, not all of it. They talking about the water. There's a very important issue with the algae, you know, which causes the water to turn green. I've often wondered if that's why Green Bay is called green, because of all the pollution that causes the algae to grow. But that's because of phosphorus, and the phosphorus is coming from agricultural runoff. It's coming from people pouring too much fertilizer on their lawns. We see it in the Madison Lakes. You also see it in the Fox River and in Green Bay. And the Walker administration has not been willing to be tough on that. I know the people at Clean Wisconsin are working a lot on trying to influence the legislation to protect our waters from excess phosphorus. So if there are any details about the air bills you want to talk about, please do.
I don't have them in front of me, so I don't have it. I do know that one of them focuses on roads and parking lots, though, because that stuck out in my mind. But there are three of them. I can't remember the bill name. I'll post them on my Facebook later so people can read them. I believe one is 195. I think one is like 115 and 116 or something like that. But I will post them on my Facebook page. You can read them. They're very short. They're not even a full page. They're mostly a paragraph, really. And it basically allows more pollution to go into the air.
Yeah, there are some of these issues, like, you know, the parking lot issue, the so-called sort of non-source pollution. That was always a big battle. And we were able to get some control on source pollution. Source pollution is a smokestack. I mean, you've got a smokestack, and out of it are coming pollutants. Now, we're having trouble with that, as I talked about, both here and in Washington, because they want to weaken those standards. But we've always had trouble getting the non-points, like a parking lot or a development area, where they're bulldozing and they're pushing and so forth. It's to get control over those sources has always been a difficult thing, and that's probably what one of those bills is talking about, is to weaken the controls that the construction people have to do when they're constructing a building or a new shopping center or parking lots.
Well, in the process of doing this, he's also restructuring the DNR to a more of a charter structure. Do you have any updates on that at all, or if you've been watching any of that?
I've been watching that because, you know, that just strikes me as a pretty sneaky approach to get the kind of things they want, namely regulations weakened or regulations delayed. So far, it's not quite clear. I mean, it's mostly just talk. The new secretary of DNR is a very questionable person in terms of her background. Again, she may be a fine human being, but her background and her approach has been pro-business. I mean, the goal of the new DNR, quote-unquote, is to help industry get permits. Well, that isn't the job of DNR. That may be the job of a Commerce Department, or that may be the job of some politician campaigning, but the job of DNR is to protect the environment. And the kind of people that Walker is going to appoint to the DNR board and the woman who's in charge of it are basically industry supporters rather than environmental supporters. And that just turned things upside down. Now, that's what one would expect from the current governor, and we're going to have to hopefully make changes there to turn it back around. But the idea of making DNR a pro-business agency misses the point of why DNR is even there in the first place.
And her name is Kathy Stepp, by the way, and she ran a cement company, and she was also a Republican legislature. So.
And so far, in the things she said, she basically has honestly said that the DNR is going to be more pro-business and is going to expedite people getting permits to make it easier for them to do whatever they want to do. And I'm not opposed to people doing things, but they have to follow very clear environmental regulations, which, as we talked before, are being weakened or attempted to be weakened here and also in Washington.
Now, if you're going to be calling in at 310-742-1896 and you want to talk to or have a question to Secretary of State Doug LaFollette, make sure you press 1 so you can get into the queue, because if you don't press 1, then you could just listen online on the phone. So, now, there's a mining bill that's looming out there.
Right.
What do you know? I mean, they wrote one. They took it off. They're rewriting it. What do we know about this mining bill?
Well, we don't know much about the new one, except it's probably going to be a little stronger because if they want to get the support of a couple of the Democratic legislators who live up north, like Senator Jauch, for example, they're going to have to make it a little better. I don't think it will be great, and I think Senator Jauch will try his best to get a pretty good law. But, of course, we know that the majority controls the legislature. The Senate's a little better than it used to be because of a lot of effort on a lot of people, many of whom are probably listening. But what's going to happen is probably not going to happen this fall yet, but I don't know. They may try to push it through in a hurry, but it may not happen until next year when they finally pass a mining law. Mining laws are very tricky because mining, by just definition, is an environmental problem. Now, we have to have some mining, presumably, for certain things in certain places, but mining is something that whenever you do it, it causes serious air pollution. It can cause very bad water pollution. We still are fighting battles. There's a battle right now over the gold mine that was built near Ladysmith many years ago, because that mine, which has been closed now, is still, we think, and there's a lawsuit being fought by people up in that area, is still contaminating the river, which runs right near there and goes to Ladysmith. So water pollution can be a real problem, and it can be a problem for many, many years after the mines are closed. And so and this mine is in a fairly wet area, as I understand. I haven't visited the site yet, but I think they're talking about more than 20,000 acres that they have the mineral rights to, the company that's involved. And much of that is an area where a river, one of the great rivers of Wisconsin called the Bad River, which empties up into Chequamicon Bay, it goes through a lot of wetland areas. And wetlands are what protects and filters the water. That's why wetlands are so important. I'm sure people listening know that, so I won't go on about that. But when you begin to contaminate areas that are wetlands, that are protecting Lake Superior, basically, by filtering and protecting the water, that kind of mining can be very problematic. So given the current legislature and the current governor, we're going to get a new mining law. I mean, we have a mining law, but it's too tough. So we're going to get a new mining law, and it will allow the permit to be given quicker. And now, we're not going to give it to them in 2 months like they'd like. It still may be a year, 18-month process, and they're supposed to fulfill certain regulations. They also have to fulfill national regulations from people like the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA. So it'll be a fairly long process, and we'll have to follow it carefully.
I have a caller for you now. Let's get them online. Hello, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call. Some of this overlaps what your guest has been talking about, but that's been a concern of mine throughout the recall movement and all the stirring at the national level, is how we can make environmental issues a bigger part of the picture. I know the Republican track record right now is just god awful, but I've seen plenty of Democrats and plenty of activists on our side of the aisle who haven't made them anywhere near a big enough priority and have opportunistically thrown them under the bus when it meant they could get a bigger campaign contribution or when it suited their needs related to the current opinion polls. And I'm just wondering what your guest thinks about what can we do to change that dynamic.
That's a very good question, and it's one of my pet peeves, if you will. I've got a bumper sticker on my desk. It's a very old bumper sticker. It says, "I vote the environment." I think everybody ought to get one of those and put it on the back of their car, because that's what is missing. If you look at the polls at election time, they always do polls saying, what are you concerned about when you go vote next week or next month? And people say the economy, taxes, Social Security, defense, the war in Afghanistan. There's always a list of 5, 6, 7, 8 things. And environment never makes that list. And that's what the caller is concerned about. And I've been concerned about it for 40 years, which is, again, why I started Clean Wisconsin, a group that was political enough that we could talk about electing the right people. So it's a matter of public opinion. And we environmental concerned people have to help educate the voters that they need to ask the candidates about environmental issues, and they need to vote based on that. Some people vote purely on the economy, or purely on a religious issue, or purely on the issue of a war someplace. But people don't seem to vote on the environment, and we need to change that to some extent.
Well, thank you for calling today. Now, We have just a few minutes left. I wanted to mention AR 26 is still looming out there. That's the bill that removes the Secretary of State and the Secretary of the Treasury. Any word about when that's going to be brought into the Assembly or Senate?
The best I know at the moment is, brief history, it was introduced by a couple of legislators at the request of the state treasurer. The state treasurer has a very interesting perspective here. He campaigned on the idea of eliminating his office, which I think was just a campaign gimmick, quite honestly, and I've told him that, so no surprise. So he got this introduced as quick as he could, and there was a hearing held, and he testified, and I went and said what a bad idea it was to eliminate this. All across the country, all states have secretaries of state doing certain important duties, and I won't belabor that issue. So the committee had their hearing. Now the next step is for the committee to vote. And the last rumor I heard about 10 days ago, was that the committee chairman would probably have a vote in late September. Of course, that's getting close now, or in October. So I would guess that probably in October, the committee will vote it out of committee, and then it'll go to the assembly. And I don't know how quickly they'll vote on it. They could vote on it immediately because they have control, or it may wait a while. Once it passes the assembly, it goes to the Senate. And that's where we've got a chance to stop it. And I ask people, please, you know, if all the Democrats in the Senate vote no, and there's a few that I think we need to put pressure on, and we get maybe one or two Republicans, and there's a chance we can, I want to give credit to Jack Voight. Jack Voight is a former Republican state treasurer, but he is against this idea. He's a very reasonable fellow. I know him well. And as a Republican, he's saying this is a bad idea. And so if he can convince some Republicans and we can have all Democrats vote no, we can stop this in the state Senate when it comes up possibly yet this year, or it might be next February or March.
So keep pressure on your senator or on these senators. I know mine doesn't listen to me, but if you can contact your senators or other senators in the area and tell them, vote no on the mine, and vote no for the Secretary of State, and vote no for any change to environmental laws. That's what we need to keep doing right now.
Right, and I really thank you for putting these things up on the Internet so people can look at those pieces of legislation.
You're welcome. There's so much going on. It's so hard to keep up, and we've got over 220 bills in the Senate alone, so the best I can do is put up the ones I can so people know what's going on. I want people to know what's going on in our state.
Yeah, just if I could put another minor plug in. Right now in Washington, the Senate, which is not great, but it's the only thing that's stopping a lot of disaster, because the Republican-controlled House of Representatives have passed dozens of laws which have just gone nowhere. But if we lose the Senate in Washington, and, of course, Senator Cole is retiring, so we're going to have a new senator. And it'll be either Senator X or Senator Y. And you can figure out which one would be a disaster, which one would be better. So I urge people to take the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin is a very important environmental vote. So make sure we vote for a senator who will protect the environment.
There we go. With that note, I'd like to thank you, Secretary of State LaFollette, for coming on today and speaking about the environment. And we definitely, there's so much more to talk about with this and with the bills and everything going on. I'd definitely like to have you back on again to talk about this more.
Yeah, I think, you know, just as a suggestion, if you don't mind, you should invite someone from Clean Wisconsin to do this, because they follow the actual bills and things very carefully. And there's certain members of their staff would be a great guest to good details on some of this stuff.
I'm working on them. They're so busy, they're having a hard time getting on. But I'm still working on them, and I'm hoping to get them on soon as well. So
great. Thank you, Sarah.
All right. Thank you so much for calling today.
All right. Bye now.
Bye. That was Secretary of State Doug LaFollette, who was kind enough to call in and talk about the environment and talk about the bill that's still looming out there that's going to remove his seat and his department.